Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It ain't a 10, but it's not a 1 either, or actually it's not a 5 either. Maybe seven-ish. This is Wretched Radio. On a scale of 1 to 10, how scary is the future for humanity, courtesy of artificial intelligence, specifically religion? Let's go to Davos, Switzerland. Not that you and I can afford to go there like all of the elites who are a part of the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. One speaker in particular had some doomsday words for religion, all of them. Any religion that goes by a book is in serious peril. Are we? Is it as scary as Israeli historian Yuval Harari claiming? He said that if you are a religion that goes by a book, because books contain words, you've got some challenges coming your way. In fact, you could be eliminated because of AI. Now, that's kind of a 10 on the doomsday scale. Is it that scary? Is it going to be that bad? Well, I think in order to determine what it's going to look like for religion, I think we can pull the magnifying glass back and just try to understand what AI is and what it can never be. And I think then, once we determine that and have a reasonable understanding of what AI is, then I think we can take a look at the application into different sectors of society. Yuval Harari, he was taking a look at religion. What about HVAC? Plumbing? The legal profession? Police? Will it affect them? Teachers? Oh, farmers? Medical professionals? Will we need any of them once AI takes over the planet? I think in order to assess that, we need to understand what it can and what it cannot do, and then imagine how human beings are going to feel about something that, yes, it can amass an awful lot of information, but it lacks one thing, and it's going to be a big umbrella term, and that big thing is humanity. Humanity. AI is a machine. And I know even this guy, Yuval Harari, was saying, hey, don't treat it like it's a tool. It's not. It really has kind of a mind of its own. It's got very special powers. It's more than just a tool. I've heard a number of guys say that. I can't buy into that, because AI is only as powerful as the person in the room who does or doesn't plug it in. It can't operate. It's not, it needs humanity. Now you can say, well, one day there's going to be robots and they'll go to war with humans. Well, a little futuristic for my taste. So let's just deal with the immediate future here. AI, it can't run itself. It needs somebody to control it. It needs somebody to program it. It needs somebody to power it. Sure, AI, I hear these things in different speeches. Right now, AI, they talk amongst themselves. No, they don't. No, they don't. They share information that was created by whom? Human beings. They can amass all of the information available on a particular subject, but they didn't create it, because that is something uniquely human. Creating stuff that we have an imagination, that we have the ability to come to create things that are beautiful, to create things that are helpful, that advance us. And without us, AI just doesn't exist. It can't. You just unplug it. Okay, this will sound kind of ridiculous, but If I told you, vacuum cleaners, they're going to take over. I'm just telling you, they're going to take over your house. Sure, right now they're just rolling around picking up lint and dust and things. Unless you get a golden retriever, then it's picking up a lot of dog hair. The point is, if I said to you, it's going to take over your house. It's ultimately going to kick you out of your home. You'd go, no, I'll just unplug it. Bingo. We still have power over AI because it is not autonomous. It does not have life. It needs humans, just like humans need God. What are the implications of the future for your work, for your career, for what it is you're going to be doing for a living? I found it fascinating that Elon Musk recently said, really, the goal of AI is that work becomes optional. Say what? Work becomes optional? First of all, that is a really bad goal because we're supposed to be working because we're image bearers and we are supposed to be ready for action. We are supposed to be tending the planet. We are supposed to be subduing it. We're supposed to be running the place. So for us to just sit on a couch playing Nintendo all day, that ain't good for us. Furthermore, I don't understand what an economy is going to look like. Who gets the paycheck? Who gets paid for doing whatever the AI or the robot does? How do you get food? I understand. That's why some people are like, it's a 10. It's doomsday. It's 10. Look out, we're all going to die. Well, I'm not that high on the scale. But I do think that there are some massive considerations that I frankly don't think that we're going to consider because we don't do that as a culture. We don't talk about the implications for humanity. A few voices are, but not many. So what is the future for religion? Well, let me share with you Yuval Harari, who was speaking at Davos. As far as putting words in order is concerned, AI already thinks better than many of us. Well, in a sense, AI probably, first of all, those words, I think we need to lose, okay, let me just loosen up my tongue here, anthropomorphic words when it comes to AI. Let's create a language for it. It doesn't think, it computes, fine. It gathers, I'm okay with that. But thinking is something that is sentient because it takes into consideration more than just data. And that is uniquely human. Body language, circumstances, seeing the periphery to understand what threats and dangers exist. AI doesn't think. So using these words that I think should be reserved for humans is a really good start. This is what the historian said. AI already, air quote, thinks better than many of us. Therefore, anything made of words will be taken over by AI. I would love to ask him, what do you mean taken over? What does that mean? Those are pretty hyperbolic words, wouldn't you say? Going to take over religion? How? Really? How? All right, let's just use Roman Catholicism, which is a religion. AI is going to kick the Pope off of his bejeweled throne. That's where we're going with this. The Pope is going to have to pack his bags and go back to Chicago. I don't see that. Now, that does not, however, mean it won't impact us. The question is, how much? How much is it going to impact us? This is what he said. If laws are made of words, then AI will take over the legal system. If books are just combinations of words, then AI will take over books. If religion is built from words, then AI will take over religion. I don't think so. And here's why. And I didn't use AI to gather this data. Number one, we'll leave the other religions out. We'll talk about the only true religion, Christianity. The AI machine will never, ever, ever possess the mind of Christ. Can't. Only humans can. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, great treatment on worldly wisdom and what it is in 1 Corinthians 2 that we possess once God regenerates us. We have the mind of Christ. And that increasingly our mind, not our brain, but our mind, in other words, the totality of you, is becoming conformed into his image. In other words, as a Christian, God is programming us. And only humans can be programmed by God. Only we have the mind of Christ. AI will never possess that, ever. Now, can it take all of the writings, you know, take the writings of every single reformer and turn it into a 10-point presentation at Davos next year? Yeah, I can do that. But it'll just gather the thoughts of human beings. Will it start to think and create by itself? No, they're saying that, yeah, it potentially can. Maybe it will. But it can't do it with the mind of Christ. And that automatically, right out of the gate, tells me it can't take over. Because it doesn't possess something that is uniquely human. And yet there are so many other AI, if it's going to take over Christianity, whatever take over means, and it doesn't have the mind of Christ, it's going to lead something it can't even believe in. It can't exercise faith. Now, you can spit out data that says, oh, yes, I do believe that. No, you don't. Because what else don't you have? Oh, yeah, a soul. And yet, there are more reasons that, with all due respect to the Israeli historian, AI ain't taken over Christianity ever. Next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus groove, and they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes.
Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness.
Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe?
We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows? Is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because gospel partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Important dates in Christian history. 1206.
Francis of Assisi renounces wealth and goes on to lead a band of poor friars preaching the simple life. The 13th century saw the rise of a number of monastic orders dedicated to simple living and social engagement. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It ain't a one, but it ain't a 10 either. This is Wretched Radio. How exercised should we be about the future of AI? Will artificial intelligence replace all of us? Well, the answer to that question is a bit of a mixed bag. Because the reality is, ask Amazon, AI is going to displace human workers. I think they just announced another 16,000. They'd already laid off 14,000. Who got laid off? People that could have their jobs done by a computer or by a robot. So we're already seeing people displaced. I think that's one of the reasons so many really good people can't get good jobs these days. They don't exist because those jobs can be done more efficiently by an AI machine. So I think there's some danger ahead. I think that there's some considerations, especially if you're young, you need to be considering. That's right, considerations you need to be considering. Because you can go to school and train for something because the university says this, we place 98% of our graduates in a career. Well, you graduate in 4 years and it might be like 8%. It's changing that fast. That's the aspect of AI that concerns me. These hyperbolic presentations, like an Israeli historian at Davos, I can't go that far. I can't, because humanity is unique. Yuval Harari saying that because Christianity, I'm going to limit it to Christianity, is a book, it's a words religion, AI is the master of words. Therefore, it's going to, quote, take over Christianity. Somebody should have raised their hand and said, excuse me, take over. Define that. What does that mean? What does that look like? Now, not naive. I know it's going to have some implications and there's going to be a lot of sorting that takes place, but I don't think it can possibly take over. Why? Here's something AI can't do. It can't hug you. When you are grieving or you're sad and you need a hug, AI can't do that for you. You want to be hugged by a robot? Really? No, there's something about humanity. Somebody to put their physical arm over your shoulder. Somebody who's willing to wipe a tear off of your cheek. Somebody who is willing to feel what you're going through. Now, you say, AI can do that. No, AI can express what it has learned about feelings by gathering data, but it can't actually feel. It can't feel for you. Empathy, sympathy. Now, it can express it. Is that going to comfort you when you're grieving? You should not feel bad, because the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to their purposes. What? That ain't going to do it for me. Timing, sensitivity, reading the room, watching body language, can't do it. Jimmy, you use the AI machine to ask the AI machine what it can and can't do.
In a roundabout way, I said, what is AI and what is it not? What can it not do?
All right, let's hear your report.
And so brief.
Now, so this is a little bit on the ironic side. You asked AI what it is.
That's right.
Okay.
AI is software trained on massive data to recognize patterns and generate useful outputs like language, images, and predictions. It can mimic understanding, but it doesn't possess it the way a human does. It has no soul, conscience, or moral responsibility. It can never be God, never be a human person made in God's image, and it can never be an infallible authority. It is a powerful tool, not a spiritual being, and it can't replace Christian life. Like, it can't replace Christian life, shepherding, or worship.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me play Glenn Beck for a moment. That's because they programmed it to tell you that, but they're really programming it to become God. That's my impression of a helicopter. Okay. I think that's a reasonable assessment of what it is.
That's right.
That doesn't mean it's not scary. I just think, as always, specificity with language, defining words correctly, creating terms that are accurate are so helpful. Yuval Harari saying it's going to take over religion. No, it's not. Won't even take over Buddhism. It can't take over anything. First of all, it literally can't if humans say no. The only way, and this is sounding rather dystopian, there are millions of robots that are programmed and they know how to charge themselves and they create weaponry to take human beings out off of the planet. We have to go to war with them. Okay, we have the ability to see that coming and stop it. I don't see these rather frightening predictions of the future being worth fear. But what I am afraid of, though, are people losing their jobs. I think we've talked about this before here on Wretched. Historically, we've seen jobs created from technological and industrial advancements. We've seen that happen. A factory is built that displaces workers. But that factory then needs machinery, which needs to be manufactured. It needs to be repaired. It needs to be maintained. It needs to be operated. So it created jobs. What is AI going to create? What is AI going to build? We've already got the computer screen. So making, like for instance, when the computer started to become smaller, faster, bigger memory, it created all kinds of industries. The computer screens, the cables need to be made. They need to be programmed. The design work that goes into a website, the management of the website, the functionality of the website, how images appear on the website versus, by the way, on your cell phone. It made jobs. What's AI going to make? Jimmy, yes. Ask AI. Ask the AI machine. If AI displaces workers in the future, what new industries will it create? Just ask it that, and let's see what it comes up with, because I can't think of any other than more managers. That's what I see. Somebody's going to have to manage them. Somebody's going to have to make sure that AI is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And it can't displace everybody. So for instance, an accountant, you can pump the numbers into it and it can do finances, but that doesn't mean it thinks. All it does is compute data that you feed into it and tell it what to do with it. But it can't consider other things like trends in the economy that you're aware of, what's happening, where the level of sophistication of the equipment in the factory and knowing that it's going to need to be replaced within 4 years. Just considerations that somebody in accounting might have as they go about the business of doing the books and preparing reports for future growth or how healthy the organization is. That takes a human. But I do think that it can take some jobs from accounting because it just doesn't require as many people to do it. You could put so much information into that. Jimmy, during the break, you said you put into the AI machine what it can do and what it can't do, what its limitations are.
Mm-hmm.
And how long was that report?
Pretty long.
Okay, thank you. Like paragraphs?
Yes. It was about 8 paragraphs.
Okay, 8 paragraphs. And I asked you to ask it to condense it to 2 sentences mm-hmm. or 3 sentences.
Right.
Boink. There it is.
Yep.
And it does it. Well, that just removes human labor. What does AI say it's going to create for human beings to do? Anything?
Yeah, this is a pretty lengthy thing. It says if AI displaces some jobs, it will create new kind of work, but not evenly. And not always in obvious ways. There will be the obvious ones like those associated with engineering AI.
Yeah.
But there's also going to be what it's calling human AI collaboration roles, like AI assisted lawyers and doctors and marketers and
designers. That's knocking people out of work. Yeah, but the same depletion is going to take place. And okay, so you're going to need one person to manage AI as opposed to 10 lawyers doing the research, the investigative work, going through the books, looking for any laws that are already in existence, other court cases. AI, boing, right there. So I don't see that adding jobs. I don't see that adding a field. I conceded. Managing AI, yes. But creating a new industry, does it list a new any sort of industries in there?
This is a whole list of entirely new industries.
Well, I want to hear one.
AI-powered education platforms, personalized health optimization, digital...
That's not a new industry.
That's what it's calling a new industry.
Okay, maybe, just maybe, the power that is needed. It takes a lot of electricity to run these things. Okay, so it might add a couple of jobs to a sector that already exists. Overall, it is going to displace a lot. And for that, I think we need to be talking and thinking about it, especially if you're young and thinking about what you're going to do for the future. But should we be in a panic that AI is going to take over religion? My estimation, not a chance. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals handed the Trump administration a significant win earlier this week, blocking a Biden-appointed judge's attempt to handcuff ICE agents operating in Minnesota. Judge Kate Menendez had issued restrictions barring agents from responding to anyone engaged in, quote, peaceful protest activity, a ruling the appeals court called too broad and too vague. Meanwhile, the teachers' unions in Minnesota are doing their part to fan the flames, with the St. Paul Federation of Educators calling for a day of action demanding ICE removal from the state entirely. The union proclaimed it stands on the side of students. The same students in a district where roughly 70% of elementary kids can't read or do math at grade level. Maybe mastering those things should come before mastering protest tactics. Just a thought. And speaking of education, the Department of Education has found California guilty of violating federal law by pressuring schools to hide the gender transitions of children from their parents. The investigation uncovered a systemic problem of schools maintaining secret gender support plans and administrators actively seeking ways to block parents from seeing gender information in student portals. California has been offered the chance to voluntarily resolve these violations, but given the track record of Governor Newsom, I wouldn't hold your breath. Animal rights activists in Oregon are pushing an initiative that would make hunting, raising livestock, and even killing mice in your attic illegal. The backers of IP28 say they're fighting for animal liberation. And the warning from the Oregon Hunters Association is that this measure would destroy farmers' markets, eliminate most agriculture, and make restaurants unsanitary since pest control would also be banned. And one bioethicist noted that this movement's not about animal welfare. It's about creating false equality between people and animals. And PETA just donated $10,000 to that effort. Yeah, that makes complete sense, doesn't it? Live Action has released an investigation into Planned Parenthood's abortion pill pipeline, revealing the organization functions more like a drug dispensary than a medical provider. Undercover calls show no meaningful review before pills are mailed, no age verification, no screening for contradictions, no counseling, no follow-ups. Pills are even shipped to alternate addresses so parents won't find out. And finally, some good news to wrap on from Canada. A federal employee has won back pay and $5,000 in damages after being suspended for refusing the COVID jab on religious grounds. An adjudicator ruled that his employer violated his right, noting the mandate perverted the nature of employment by reducing it to mere compliance. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved rather than a gift to be understood. Yeah, Jimmy.
Are you reading? Why?
You can tell.
What?
This is Wretched Radio. I asked the AI machine to write a 1-minute radio introduction for a segment that teaches about the blessings of suffering based on 1 Peter 1. Guess what? It killed it. Mm. It really did. There is nothing in here that I would see a need to change. Now, did it? I know that this is really framed well because I've been buried in 1 Peter 1 now for a couple of months. Nothing is wrong. In fact, it's done really well. But how would you feel if all I did was read AI? Because we could do this all day. In fact, here, I'm going to do this. Turn that into 10 minutes. Boink. There it goes. Now, let's just see what it does. 3, 4. Okay, it's done. Absolutely. Here's a 10-minute radio teaching built from that intro. Paced for spoken delivery and warm pastoral radio tone. I can't do that. You can trim or pause for music as needed. Here we go. And it's still going. It's writing it. Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved rather than a gift to be understood? When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, ask God to remove it as fast as possible. And to be clear, Scripture never tells us that pain is pleasant or that hardship should be ignored, but it does tell us something surprising. Suffering can be meaningful. It can even be a blessing. I got to tell you, I basically wrote something like that, but not as well. It was really just a talking point to show the blessings of suffering, that instead of going, this is not to be stoic, but this is just to demonstrate how we should be reframing suffering. Instead of going, suffering, bad, I don't want any of it. If we understand God's use of suffering rightly, we should be able to. I'm not saying that it's like right to do it, but we should be able to say, Lord, I'd like some more suffering so that I can be more refined into the image of your Son, so that I can be holy like you're holy. So please, refiner's fire, bring it, because I want to be purified as fast as possible. Now, it's simply to make a point. Suffering, persecution is good for us. It's always good for us. Do I think that we should be begging God for more suffering? No, that's silly, because there is an alternative. Purify yourself. Don't make God turn up the blast furnace to refine you as pure gold. Do it yourself. Stop sinning. Do the things that he commands you to do, knowing it is always a joy to do so. You don't have to go through the refiner's fire. And so I wouldn't ever say that, but that point is accurate. And it actually just said it with AI. Now, I'm just scrolling down, turns it into 10 minutes. This is just a human. This is better than what most humans would do. And I'm telling you, pastors are already doing this. So my question for you is, let's advance the conversation. If you knew that your pastor were doing nothing but what I just did with AI, how would you feel about that? That's what he does on Sunday. He just gets up there and delivers that. Now, I'm not a good reader, so I struggle to make this sound like it's natural. But is it possible that if we don't say particular things about the limits of AI, there will be pastors who are really good at taking an AI manuscript and delivering it like, whoa, that was amazing. And it becomes a new seminary class on homiletics. It doesn't teach you how to divide the word. It doesn't teach you anything about expositional preaching, because you don't need it. All the homiletics class will be about is how you can read it well. Or maybe there'll be an ancillary class that teaches you how to program AI well to make the best sermon possible. That's a skill set. It is a skill set. If you've never played with AI before, You have you get better at telling it what to do to get the outcome that you're looking for. If I wanted to, I could put instructions in here. No, I want you to make this less pastoral and more authoritative and rebuking. Boink. Done. Just like that. Because that pastor knows in his congregation that he's got people that are whinging a lot. And so he's really got to, he's got to bring some heat and tell them to just knock off the complaining and whining and see suffering differently. Boom, there it is. Now, that's a skill set to do that. Granted, I'm not sure how long it takes to learn that, but nevertheless, less time than studying Hebrew and Greek. I know that. But then what needs to happen for the pastor to be an effective pastor in the 21st century? He needs to be able to deliver it. And so homiletics classes will turn in nothing but drama classes. Your pastor's going to become an actor. Here's what your pastor isn't going to become: more godly. That's because he's not doing this. He's not in 1 Peter. He's letting AI do everything for him. And you know what? If I weren't immersed in 1 Peter at the moment, I would read this. And do you know what it would actually mean to me? Very little. Very little. It's like, because I'm just reading something. It's good stuff. I'll take you back to the 1 minute introduction. Today's segment invites us to slow down and listen to a surprising truth from 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay. See, this is why I'm terrible at this, but I guess this could be another homiletics class. How to turn AI content into your very own. All right. So I'm going to do that, Jimmy. Ready? I'll see if I possess that skill. Hey. I know you're zooming everywhere. Just slow down. This might shock you a little bit, but 1 Peter 1, get ready for this. As hard as life might be right now, they're actually disguised blessings. How'd I do? That pretty good? Huh? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great.
I made it my own. Mm-hmm. Means nothing to me because I haven't wrestled with the text. And the pastor that does nothing but get trained to train AI is not going to wrestle with the text. And that text, therefore, is not going to have the impact on him. The text is going to be dead letter. So your pastor isn't going to be growing in holiness. But I'm telling you, if we let this thing just take over the pulpit, pastoral ministry is going to change. Furthermore, you're in the hospital and I come visit you. Is this what you want from your pastor? Hey, tell me how you're feeling exactly about the upcoming operation. Hold on. I'm just booting up here. A little bad signal. Hold on. Okay, go ahead. You're kind of scared. Uh-huh. Hold on. You read some things online that indicate the odds aren't as good as you want them to. Okay. Question. Do you like Bible verses being quoted directly or just kind of paraphrased? Okay. Just like that. Uh-huh. All right. Psalms. Do you have a feeling about the Psalms? Okay. Or do you prefer more didactic, like from the epistles? Okay. Got it. So I'll just say Romans. Okay. All right. Here we go. My beloved friend, there is no need to fear. The Psalms tell us that we should fear God. Therefore, we do not need to fear anything in the future. We do not need to be like the pagans, which, by the way, Peter alluded to in 1 Peter 1. Your empty life, your pagan life, your uneducated life, where you had no knowledge about what was wicked, just the total vapid nature of our existence. That's gone. That's gone. You're in Christ. You've got a new life. You've got a new mind. Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, you became human. Stop. You can't.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let me get back to my script. You're lying in your bed. Okay, here comes the nurse. You know what? That's okay. Because I can tighten this up. Too many sentences. Bring it down. I think that I'm losing their attention. Is that what we want? No, of course not. But I do fear that if pastors become nothing but programmers and presenters, we're gonna lose the warm shepherding nature of being a pastor. This content is actually really good. Listen to the writing to believers facing real pressure and persecution. Peter doesn't minimize their pain. Instead, he reframes it. That's really actually very good. Okay. It's just not mine. And it's not natural. And I learn nothing. And I'm not being sanctified by it. And now the only thing that I need to do is deceive you into thinking that it came from me, because I don't think humans are ever going to be content going, you know what? AI really killed it this morning. I'm telling you, that AI sermon just crushed it. And my pastor's acting skills are getting better and better all the time. Is AI going to take over Christianity? No. No, it's not. This is... Wait a second. This is Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine, but somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought, it's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us. And he is a source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And another thing, this is Wretched Radio, the limits of AI. We need to recognize it definitely has limitations. It also has some abilities to really cause human harm, specifically when it comes to work. When you have AI doing research for you, you don't need research assistants. You don't need paralegals. You don't need young lawyers going through the books. You got something better. You got AI. So all of that can be displaced. Gulp. There are some scary components to AI indeed. And yet, I don't think that it is the horror that some people are presenting it as. I just don't think that it's going to displace humanity. It's certainly not going to kick God off of his throne. They gave it their best go in Genesis in building a tower to displace God from his throne to show we're the ones who reign here. And he dispersed them. That's not going to happen. It can't happen. AI isn't more powerful than God. Having said that, we better start getting ready. It's already happened. This is going on in your church. This is going on in your church. Your pastor has access to AI. Is he letting it do his job that only he can do? Furthermore, if he ain't doing his job and he's leaning on AI, he can't do something that only human beings can do. Read the room. When you're speaking, you read a room. Good speakers are aware. They're taking note of the audience. They're looking at them. What kind of response are they getting? People leaning in, they looking kind of bored. Are you seeing some head snap? Are you maybe seeing some head shaking? What's going on out there? AI can't adjust for that. It can't read a room. It can't read faces. You know, I guess at some point AI can have some sort of facial recognition where it can tell somebody's frowning. Okay. So then I guess on the stage, we're going to have a camera that goes to AI so it can just go read your face and then rewrite the script before the pastor gets to it. But uh-oh, he hasn't practiced his lines. Well, we'll get that worked out. But the point is, it can't do what only a human being can do. Furthermore, let me just try something in here. I'm going to the AI machine right now. Because they did a nice job, believe it or not, on putting together a 10-minute teaching on the suffering that Peter sees and how he addresses it in 1 Peter 1. And it kicks something out that's really good. But now I'm going to ask it to make it more expositional. Click, push the button. Got it. Will lean clearly expository, text-driven and structured. So the passage itself does the teaching. Below is a 10-minute expository radio segment that walks verse by verse through 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. This is amazing. All right, let's just see what it's got for us. Today, we're in 1 Peter 1. Am I sounding natural, Jimmy? I'm trying. I'm a terrible reader. You can always, when I read, you know it.
Both of us.
And even when it's my writing, I just... Can't do it. Today, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Our focus is on what this passage teaches about suffering, specifically how suffering functions within the life of a believer. Rather than approaching the topic philosophically or emotionally, Peter approaches it theologically. He explains suffering in the light of salvation, hope, and God's purpose. Okay, so far, this is horrible exposition. It doesn't have an introduction. There's no reason for me to listen. It's not introducing the topic. Well, it does a little bit. Suffering in light of salvation, hope, and God's purpose. Okay, that's a good thing to do in your introduction. Here's the big words that we're going to be focusing on throughout this sermon. That just brings unity to a sermon. And the introduction should be unified with the proposition that is being presented. And notice I said singular proposition. Multiple points, one proposition. This does that, but it's a snooze. Why would I listen to this? Furthermore, let me just share with you this. This is geeking out a little bit, but this is what it did with turning this into expository preaching. Did you feel how dry it got? Did you sense that? Let me read the original, all right? The first one that I asked for. See if it feels different than what you just heard. Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved? Rather than a gift to be understood. Now, this is an intro. When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, or ask God to remove it as fast as possible. Do you feel how it's like, okay, this is personal. What I asked for with exposition, It's like dry toast with no butter and certainly no jam on it. It's like, okay, here we go. We're going to do a verse-by-verse study of 1 Peter. Now, that's getting the meat out of the verse, but I don't think that's preaching. Seriously. And is personalizing it, making it less impactful or more impactful? I don't know if you hear it as much as I do, but this expository presentation is so dry. Today, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Our focus is on this passage that teaches us about suffering, specifically how suffering functions within the life of a believer. Abstract, out the esoteric, generalized. Go back to the original introduction that it gave. It communicates the same information. But honestly, I'm more interested in this. When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, ask God to take it away as fast as he can. But scripture never tells us pain is pleasant or that hardship should be ignored. But it does tell us something surprising. Suffering can be meaningful. It can even be a blessing. Do you feel the difference? Now, that is as expositional as it needs to be. In the more generalized one that I just read to you, it gets into, I see it quoting, in verses 3-5, Peter bursts into praise. He says God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That was actually 2 or 3 sermons at Alpharetta Bible Church, but nevertheless, it dives into it a little bit, but if you go to the expository presentation that it did for us, just this is what it says. Let's begin in verse 3. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I think it's great that it actually quoted the Bible. The other one told you what the Bible said. This one actually read it to you. I like that. Before Peter addresses suffering, he begins with praise. This is significant. Praise is not the result of favorable circumstances here. It is the response to what God has done in salvation. Peter grounds everything that follows in God's character and action. That's actually really good. So now, let me move from the comparison from these two presentations courtesy of AI. What I'm reading so far, it's spot on. I don't think it's great, but it's not a mess. And a pastor can put that in. Just, I was doing it while I was talking to you. Just a couple of clacks. Boink. There it is. And I could have come on the radio today. And I could have just read this and kind of, you know, made it sound a little bit more natural, but it wouldn't be me. And you say, "Friel, we don't care about you." I get that. It wouldn't be human. Do you really just want to have a relationship with a computer? That's why these commercials, you've seen them. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. It's targeting seniors who don't perhaps have the stamina to deal with an actual live dog. So they've created an AI dog. It looks at you like, "Hey, throw the bone for me." And you get to pet it and it feels, okay. Is that what we want? Is that really? That's replacing an actual human, an actual dog being? They're building robots to replace your spouse. Okay. So let's just say your spouse can do stuff and doesn't make a mess. Isn't that how's about this? Your new robot spouse always closes the cabinet doors whenever they take something out of the cabinets in the kitchen.
You talking to me?
Maybe. So here's a question for you. You can be married to a robot who never makes a mess, who always closes the cabinet doors in the kitchen, who needs just very little maintenance and can have conversations with you on the couch. Can do those things. Do you want to replace Mrs. Hicks with that?
No.
Why? Just because you can't enjoy a sunset, just because you can't actually experience the trials and the travails that married couples go through, that you can't experience the joys of seeing your kids do something great, just because you can't have babies together, just because you can't be intimate together, just because you can't do meals together, just because you can't get to know a human being on such a profoundly deep level, You don't want to trade all of that for a robot?
No.
My point, exactly. They can do some stuff, but they can't do human. And that is why I'm not scared of it, but I'm not going to be naive about it. And I'm not going to be oblivious. I fear what this is going to do for the ability for people to make a living, temporarily or long term. That has some dangers. I also think there's some dangers for pastors to become pretenders. But do I think that AI is going to displace humans? Absolutely not. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.